The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. The final hour of the program has arrived. Don't forget tomorrow, Danny Sheridan returns to the program with his outlook of the 2020 season. We began a couple hours ago with breaking news from Notre Dame, a school that has really done it right. Remember, Brian Kelly was with us just a couple of days ago. Nobody had done a better job with COVID than Notre Dame until today, when we found out their game this weekend at Wake Forest was going to be postponed. We talked to Pete Sampson of The Athletic.
They had an outbreak of positive cases after the weekend, and last week was very bad for Notre Dame, where they had seven players held out for non-injury reasons. That was sort of breaking right before the game against South Florida, and there was a hope internally that, you know, that was going to be the end of that. They were going to be able to stamp it out, do antigen testing Sunday morning. But those tests revealed that, it's gone a little bit deeper than that. So they've suspended football activities. The game this weekend is off. And, you know, if you're sitting here with 13 players in isolation and 10 players in quarantine, it makes you wonder if, you know, an extra week of delay is going to make enough of a difference that you could actually play this game on October 3rd weekend.
So that's the deal, and we'll find out whether they can get through this week and be ready to play again next week. Squirrel is up next. Hello, Squirrel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And you know, I hate that for Notre Dame. And I heard you mention Danny Sheridan. Can't wait to hear him tomorrow. I had dinner at his favorite restaurant, Mary Mahoney's, a couple weeks ago in Biloxi, and I thought about him when I sat down at the table. Matter of fact, I know how much he likes that place.
He does.
Have you ever been there?
No.
You need to put that on your list.
Is that the Beau Rivage?
It's across the street from the Beau Rivage. It's in a building that was built in like 17.
Yeah, not 100%. I went over there one day, one night with Danny to the Beau Rivage, and I it was so late and the circumstances were such, I don't remember whether we went there or not.
Yeah. You probably did. But, you know, I was listening to the show yesterday afternoon, and I was thinking, man, that's great. Three calls, 3 days in a row, calls from Jim, and Paul and Jim seem to be back in their groove. And then today it seemed like things have gotten off track a little bit. I heard Jim's call. He seemed a little upset with
me. Yeah, I thought we had a bit of a lover's quarrel.
Well, you know, Jim, he's teaming up. I don't know why he's upset with Red Dog. If you remember at one time, him and Red Dog were partners. Do you remember when they were going after people and looking for DUI photos and putting them up and things of that nature?
Yeah, I do remember that. You weren't involved in that, were you?
They tried to include me in on that, which turned out it didn't work because I don't have a record. But fortunately, if you recall, I was able to call my attorney over in Gainesville, and she took care of it for me pretty quick. But Jim, if him and Augie, that would be that's a great partnership. Jim has tried to partner up with other people in the past, and those two guys, I think there might be some hope for their partnership. I mean, they're both pretentious clowns. I mean, so they go well together, in my opinion. I mean,
by the way, for the record, that was not a laugh. That was a cough.
I know that. And one last thing I was going to tell you, it happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, back during one of our woke episodes, and I didn't call in that week. And somebody sent me from Ancestry.com, they sent me a class yearbook photo from the 63 Tuscaloosa High School yearbook. And it was the section that ended with F and started with G. And I had some fun with it that day. I cropped the photos so you couldn't see the names, and I put the photo on Twitter, and I just asked people to guess which one was Jim. And you should go back and look and see at some of the replies. Yeah, they were hilarious. But anyway, great call by Jim today. Can't wait till the next one. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Andrew is calling next in Kentucky. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about Kentucky. You know, they've got a really good offensive line this year, maybe the best in the conference. They're returning just about everybody except Lynn Bowden, and I think they're going to have a really good year this year. Do you think they have a chance to win the SEC East, or what do you think their ceiling is going to be this year?
I agree with you, and I was listening to Malzahn a minute ago talk about what they bring back, too. And, I mean, they are a solid team. I don't think they can win the East, and I don't mean that in any way other than I think Florida and Georgia are just a little bit ahead of them. And I'm you know, to be determined, but I'm curious whether Tennessee is or not.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Kentucky, you know, with a win at Auburn, they give themselves a chance to have a nice little run. But that game reminds me a little bit of Tennessee's South Carolina. The loser really goes in the hole, and that is one of the issues that we have this with this new schedule. It is going to be punishing. Let's go to JP in Fayetteville. You're on the air, JP. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Paul. SEC football is almost here, man. It's like waiting for Santa Claus.
It really is.
Christmas morning. Oh, I just can't wait. You know the question to ask you at Christmas time, as you get closer to Christmas time, are you ready? Are you ready?
The answer is yes. So this would be, we're 4 days away, so we're in the early December 20th, 21st, 22nd. Yeah, I mean, it's... until now, I feel like we've been sleepwalking the last 2 weeks.
Paul, do you remember that song? Great rock and roll song, Are You Ready, from 1970? Pacific Gas and Electric.
I must confess, JP, I do not remember that one.
Got to check it out, man, the long version. 50th anniversary of the song.
I'm all over it tonight.
Multiracial band.
I'm going to see if I can get Casey Kasem on the phone.
Hey, Casey played the long version. Casey,
oh, did he? Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, this is also the 50th anniversary of a no-hitter in baseball by Doc Ellis. Are you familiar with that?
No, I remember Doc. I was a big baseball fan back then, so I remember Doc Ellis. I don't remember the no-hitter.
He pitched the no-hitter while he was high on LSD.
Okay. Yeah, I here's the problem. I was probably high too, so I didn't pick up on it.
Well, Doc will tell you he was pitching in the fourth inning, and he thought Richard Nixon was the plate umpire.
You sure he wasn't?
Don't believe so, man. I believe he was in D.C.
Yeah, in 1970, Nixon was definitely the president. Yeah, my LSD days came much later. I was
wondering what it was like. I have no idea myself.
No, it will be in my memoirs.
He was also pitching, and he thought Jimi Hendrix was at the plate, holding a guitar and swinging it over the plate.
Was Jimmy even alive by then?
1970?
Yeah.
I think he died in 70 or 71.
Okay. Yeah, he wasn't there for long. 70 was kind of the transition from, I mean, obviously Woodstock happened in, what, 69 or 68? I can't remember. 69. Yeah. Where's I-Man when I need him?
I'm sure he's in the process of calling.
He's probably listening.
You're a St. Louis Cardinal fan, right, Paul?
I grew up in Memphis, and the Cardinals were our team, yes.
Yeah, AAA team? Okay. Well, anyway, did you like Cincinnati, the Reds?
No, we hated the Reds. I mean, the Cardinals, you know, the enemies were the Cubs and the Reds and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doc Ellis hated the Big Red Machine so bad that he went on a mission to plunk every hitter in a start he had. He hit the first three, and then he threw over the heads of Tony Perez and Johnny Bench.
JP, I have to ask you, I have to read more about that. How do you pitch on LSD? I mean, I never, when you know, I could never do anything other than just
how he did it.
Listen to music.
I really don't. You know, he hit batters, he walked batters, but he never allowed a hit. Mazeroski saved him from one hit. But he didn't think he was going to pitch that day. He was partying in L.A. Mm-hmm. He woke up next morning, took more LSD, and they told him, hey, man, you're pitching today.
Wow.
So somehow he did it.
Well, thanks for the call. And just for the record, I have never seen LSD or consumed it. I was just kidding. I don't want anybody to start calling their congressman on me. We will take a break. I don't even know what it stands for. Alex Scarborough, it's interesting. His part of the, what we're going to talk to him about involved a man who was in college in the in 1970, and later on we'll talk about his first head coaching job. That's Nick Saban we're talking about. Coming up next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. And you can never go wrong talking about Nick Saban at any point in his life, especially his first head coaching job at Toledo. Does anyone remember that? No hands raised. So let's bring in Alex Scarborough from ESPN, who has done a very deep dive about the 38-year-old Nick Saban. Fantastic story right now on ESPN.com. Alex, thank you for joining us. And so much has been done on Saban at Kent State as a player, working with Belichick. But I'm intrigued what brought you to this point in Nick Saban's career. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. It's interesting because I do a lot of covering Alabama, and we think of Nick Saban so much now, what, 12, 13 years on it in Tuscaloosa, of him as an institution here, of him as a championship-winning head coach, perhaps, you know, the greatest coach of his generation. And you never really think about the first time he did it. And I've always sort of been interested by that, and finally got around to digging into it and talking to former players and coaches and just about what kind of person he was at 38 years old, finally getting the opportunity he dreamed about, and talking with Nick about it, how convinced he was and what he was doing and the belief in the system he had. And just so much of what you see today was really getting going back then in 1990 at Toledo, and the turnaround that they had in one season, barely missing out on a bowl game. It was really interesting and really shed some light on Nick Saban, who can sometimes be a little bit unknowable, but definitely an interesting picture of who he was as a first-time head coach.
Alex, let's talk about how he got to Toledo, first of all, and I'll let you fill in the blanks, but he was in the NFL, right?
He was with the Houston Oilers, yes.
So, you know, he was successful in the NFL. He and I won't spoil the end of this story. So, he gets to Toledo, and you know, this season, as you said, is going fairly well. Take us through the season and what anyone paying attention to that, which probably wouldn't have included many, would have learned about the future great coach.
Yeah, they had a terrific season. Started out 5-0, and really everything was rolling. Ended up only losing a couple of games Nick Saban in typical fashion was hung up on those losses. But it didn't, nobody had an inkling that he was going anywhere. And you wouldn't have thought until, you know, oh, the day before signing day, a guy by the name of Bill Belichick gets the head coaching job at the Cleveland Browns. And then an interesting thing Phil Parker told me about, who was his one of his assistant coaches at the time, had played for him at Michigan State. He said that they had a coach's dinner the day after signing day to sort of unwind and celebrate a, you know, a job well done. And he remembers Nick Saban pacing in the, he got there early and saw Nick Saban on the phone pacing back and forth and looking really concerned. And he asked Nick about, you know, what's up? That looked like an interesting call. And Nick said, ah, nothing, you know, didn't think anything of it. Phil told me he was convinced that was Bill Belichick. And that relationship, which has been well chronicled and dates back to Nick working on the staff at Navy where Coach Belichick's dad was on staff as well. Coach Belichick just kept hammering him. Nick said he told him three or four different times, no, he wasn't going anywhere. And finally broke him down, you know, and said, this is the opportunity you should be going for. This will further your career. And it was a difficult decision for Nick Saban. He, I mean, 30 years on, still you can tell he struggled with leaving after 1 year. But he made it, and the rest is sort of history.
Yeah, and by the way, him leaving there was not the, it was the first time Nick Saban left somewhere that left a lot of people upset. Hello, Michigan State and LSU and a couple of other places. But what was the reaction when, after 1 year, he goes 120 miles away to go coach for Belichick in Cleveland?
Not thrilled. The athletic director was kicking himself because he thought enough to put a buyout for other college coaching opportunities, but did not think of the NFL. And Nick was able to use that sort of, I guess you could call it a loophole, and players. Kevin Mager, who was the quarterback at the time, remembers how, you know, frankly, upset he was. And he lied. He said, he told me he was walking out of the meeting to go talk to reporters, and Nick sort of, you know, asked him how he felt, and he said he had to lie to him because he didn't want to offend him. He lied and says it's okay, but it took him a while to get over it. It took a lot of those guys some time and distance to understand what happened, and that wasn't just them either. I mean, Nick told me it took him a year to come to grips with the fact that he had done the right thing for him personally. That leaving is hard, and as you said, the first time doing it, I think, was especially hard, but I sort of went into this story maybe expecting to find some more hard feelings. I mean, I talked to, I think, about 18 former coaches and players on that team. And while they were all either shocked or surprised or upset or whatever have you in the moment, with distance, with time, they all sort of understood that, you know, he was going to make a boatload more money. He was going to the NFL as a coordinator. And that, again, that relationship with Coach Belichick has been so pivotal in Nick Saban's career that nobody to this day is looking at that sideways. Nobody was saying, you know, he shouldn't have done that. They were all in agreement that, yeah, it was difficult at the time, but we understand it now.
And, of course, it set everything else up. Belichick was not successful in Cleveland. It's a fairly little-known avenue of his career, but it worked out well for Saban, though.
Absolutely. I mean, he that defense with the Browns, they turned it around and turned it around in a hurry. I would argue they weren't the reason they didn't get where they wanted to go. And Nick was able to lean on an old relationship he had with George Perlis, who was the coach at Michigan State, to get an opportunity there to go be the head coach. And he actually told me if he was maybe a little bit more patient and hadn't jumped at the Michigan State opportunity, he believes he would have had an opportunity to be an NFL head coach after that season, which I hadn't heard that before, but he was convinced of that. And so it really opened up a lot of doors, and people became much more aware of Nick Saban as the defensive coordinator of the Browns, even though it wasn't necessarily a successful experiment there. Not many coaching staffs have had success in Cleveland, but his stature really rose and his career as a whole. I mean, I did a story a year ago on all the mentors in Nick Saban's life. I think you could argue that that is, outside of his father, the most pivotal relationship he's had in terms of coaching, in terms of football. They've really meant a lot to each other, and all started in Cleveland.
And Alex, I'm so interested in this because, you know, I'll never forget when the day Saban was hired in 2007, the national pundits, and there were many, and many of whom now work at this network and others, lambasted him. They said he would never stay at Alabama, that, they called him every scurrilous name in the world. I wonder how much of this experience leading to others ended up turning this Alabama experience into his legacy.
It absolutely did. I mean, he told me, and it's really kind of obvious in a sense, but you don't really know you can do it until you do it for the first time. And that's what Toledo, in a purely personal perspective, it proved to him that what I believe in terms of football is the right thing. And then learning what he did under Coach Belichick, the way he was able to blend their defenses and really sets up the defense they play today, what he learned at Michigan State in terms of stepping up a rung and the competition aspects of that, competing in LSU. The thing that people, I think, tend to not understand about Nick Saban is he's obviously the greatest coach of all time, but in terms of a lack of ego in coaching, his ability to say, this isn't working, I need to adapt, he's done that time and time again, and he's even done it just at Alabama. His willingness to look at, frankly, at what's happening and change has led him to this point where, again, he's arguably the greatest coach of his generation, if not of all time. He's found himself in a position at Alabama where all of those things that he's learned and all of the resources that he has have converged in this way that's created this dynastic program that really gave him an opportunity to say, look, I've got everything I need here. I no longer have to go seek out another opportunity.
And Alex, before you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the lead up to this season, which of course for Alabama starts Saturday night. What's it been like just being around this program as much as anyone can be around any person at this point, but the expectations are once again sky high.
A lot of confidence, a lot more confidence than at this point a year ago when it felt like every key member of that defense was going down every week and you sort of wondered if they were on solid ground. The return of Dylan Moses, the young players like a Will Anderson at outside linebacker, that defense is poised to have a big bounce back season. And there's a lot of quiet confidence in what Mac Jones brings to the table at quarterback and what he showed last year in a tough loss at Auburn and then against Michigan, the ability to lead an offense that has so many weapons with Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, maybe the best and deepest offensive line in the SEC, all back. I think they feel really good about where they are right now. COVID throws everything, puts question marks on everything, but in terms of just confidence in this season, it's as high as I can remember in a while. They're in a really good place, barring a slew of injuries, where they have that good blend of young talent and experience with the guys they got back who bypassed the draft.
Fantastic story by Alex Scarborough. You can read it on ESPN.com. Alex, many, many thanks. Great to have you on.
My pleasure.
You got it. Really a fascinating story there. Let's head to the final 30 minutes of the program, and we'll continue with more of your calls at 855-242-7285. A lot of great guests, but it's all yours the rest of the way. Stick around.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. The final 25 minutes of this program. More of your calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Dee, who is up next in Georgia. Hello, Dee.
Hey, Paul. You had a call guest earlier who was saying that they're expecting better things out of Kellen Mond.
Right.
Texas And my guess is that he said he had been there 3 years. Like, we've been hearing Kellen Mond's name longer than 3 years. Did he play somewhere else or transfer in?
No, I'm trying to remember whether he may have been there an extra year, but that he didn't play. But he's definitely played for 3 years. I just can't remember whether he missed it. I think he's played three consecutive years.
Did he ever play at some other college?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
Well, Dee, thank you. And CJ is up next. CJ, go right ahead. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. My son's hard to believe I got on for the second time with you.
Well, I'm really glad. Thank you.
Yeah, good show. And I'm just excited to talk football. Just got all the other stuff we've been through the last few months. But I got to tell you, I am really psyched about LSU this year. I just don't see them falling off. No, I really don't. With all the players they've lost, and you look at all the players at LSU that are in the NFL now, I really think this Saturday, LSU is going to have the most talent on the field than possibly we've ever had at any one time. I mean, just from top to bottom, they're just stacked at every single position. I know no one wants to follow Joe Burrow, but my friend, I mean, he was like Mr. Mississippi. I mean, he's not your normal starting quarterback. I mean, and it's not just that. I mean, God, on defense, Bo Pelini, we're going to be so much more aggressive up front. We're going to get back to more like the old LSU defense that people are used to seeing. And the talent's unbelievable. This kid from South Dakota State, Coach O's calling him the best player on the field. Just look at the linebackers, the defensive back. And, State's going to be better this year, but I don't think they're anticipating the aggressiveness up front and the defensive backs, linebackers. I mean, and you got Curry. He's been working really hard in the offseason. He's going to be a great back. I'm just excited. That's all. It's just... can't wait.
Well, I'll tell you what, CJ, you should be excited. I do need to warn you, though, as great as LSU's recruiting has been, if this team can top last year, then you will win the lottery, because last year is as good a team as I've ever seen.
Yeah, but when you look at it position by position, I really believe our defenses could be better. I really do. And then you look on offense. I mean, it's just hard to find any weaknesses. You look at all the receivers we got, I mean, they are unbelievable. And we got Bama coming at home. I don't know. People better watch out, because I know a lot of people want to write off LSU. I mean, I've seen things with Cincinnati is in the top four. I don't know if you put that in there, Paul. But,
no.
I think LSU is definitely, I didn't think you would. But I definitely think LSU will be here at the end of the year. And it ought to be an exciting year. Wait.
Well, I hope it is. call me back if you're right. David is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul, it's good to speak with you. I just saw the news flash. Billy Donovan is headed to the Chicago Bulls. Did you see that?
Yeah, I just saw that reported. So Billy, who leaves Florida to go to OKC, I mean, he had an interesting run there. Came pretty close a couple of times, but I think that's an upgrade for him. That's a much better job ultimately.
Yeah, I just wish we could get him back in Florida.
Yeah, well, good luck.
And Paul, I was watching one of the national football shows on the college game, and they had Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Brady Quinn, and they all picked Florida to crack the college football playoffs this year.
Yeah, that's the Fox morning show on Saturday. I've seen it once or twice. Believe it or not, rare compliment by me. I think Urban Meyer is quite good on television.
Oh yeah, it was a good show, but I was just really surprised.
No, well, yeah, I mean, if Urban did it, I could understand it. All those guys are pretty knowledgeable in football. I mean, I am still torn. I have friends in Gainesville who are saying you're crazy not to go with the Gators. I'm really torn right now, but I think the fact that we're having this conversation is really great. I mean, Dan Mullen has done one of the great turnarounds I've ever seen. It's hard to believe that 3 years ago we were dealing with Jim McElwain.
Well, a couple of those guys picked two teams from the SEC to crack the Final Four. Do you think that's a realistic ball?
I did before the Big Ten came back. I'm not sure anymore. I would say no right now.
Yeah. And one thing about LSU this year, that the last caller, I agree that LSU's got a heck of a lot of talent. But this year they're overrated. I mean, when you look at those stats, I mean, they lost 17 starters. They lost their quarterback.
David, did you not hear him, though? He said that everybody's better than last year.
Well, I think Florida's going to have a little surprise for LSU this year. They lost so much, and I just think that Florida's got a really good shot this year, and I think we're going to take LSU, and I think that the game of the year is going to be between Florida and Georgia.
There's no doubt about that.
LSU's overrated.
David, thank you. And I will tell you, I can't tell you how much I've missed the enthusiasm of the callers. And I am not, I am acutely aware of how good LSU is. And I'm also even more acutely aware of how many players they've lost. But you know, it shows you the mindset. A year ago, LSU fans, can we ever beat Alabama? And now, forget last year. We're better this year. We are going to take a break. We still have time for you to call in with your enthusiasm, and we look forward to that. Don't forget tomorrow, Danny Sheridan will be here, give us his picks on the upcoming season.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.